Hello and welcome back to Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. Tonight or today, whenever you're listening, we're going to talk about just kind of off the cuff topics, some things that have helped us get by over the years, some more personal conversation, just something hopefully you'll enjoy and maybe we won't overshare and you'll listen again next week.
Welcome to Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. I'm Erin.
And I'm Amanda.
This is the podcast to encourage moms that have been at this homeschooling gig longer than 5 years and plan on sticking with it through the high school years. The long haulers, as we like to say. We want to help you have the greatest of all time homeschool that meets the needs of your family by encouraging you with real conversations on the issues that pop up as you've been in this homeschool lifestyle for years.
So it'll be fun to try and see if there's people out there that need the encouragement and there's anything that we can do to help others as they get started on their journey, that'd be awesome. That's what we're here for.
Oh, how are you, Amanda?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you?
Good. We both have co-op. Today we're recording on a different day. So today for both of us was our co-op day. So I think we're both just kind of a little bit fried as one gets, as we're schooling the children and doing that with friends. We've talked a lot about co-ops before and they're awesome and they're exhausting and they're beautiful and they're ugly all at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. Normally at this time of day after co-op, I would be asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
Put the news on or something. Yeah. Yeah. So it's an exhausting day but it's good to, you know, kind of have a different schedule today and you're making me perk up a little bit and I might have to go make a pot of coffee and we'll see, but yeah, we'll have some off the cuff conversations. Next week we'll have somebody on and that'll be fun. And we'll get into a deeper topic, but
yeah. So I don't know about you. You're a lot bit more organized than I am, but I always have the greatest intentions on days that we have to get out of the house to have like everything packed up the night before, all the lunches made, breakfast ideas rolling around in my head. And I never seem to be able to get quite good at it. And we're usually rushing out the door. Do you have any secrets for your success?
It might depend on when your co-op is. Of course, you have to get there at like noon, right? So when we had our previous co-op, we had to be there at 8 o'clock. I had to be there at 7:45 and we lived 45 minutes away. So we were pulling out of the driveway at 7, no later than 7. So yeah, everything was packed the night before. All showers were done. All clothes were laid out. All lunches were packed. Everything was done and ready. And if someone contacted me after I had prepped that stuff, then it was not going to happen. Because like if someone, hey, do you have something, something, something at your house you could bring tomorrow? Nope. It's 10 o'clock. I'm in bed, you know, like this is done. But our co-op now, we don't have to be there until noon. And even that's kind of flexible because it's at someone's house. And so it's really not as big of a deal, but yeah, just have to make sure you get lunch and whatever I'm teaching needs to be prepped. I'm teaching geography. So I did a lot of prepping yesterday or earlier this week on, we did a bingo game. For where our continent we're studying right now is Europe. So I found a free printable Europe bingo game that I printed off. And it had some terms on there that I don't think my kids have heard or maybe not completely familiar with, like plain and plateau and those, some of those geographical terms, peninsula, that sort of thing. So I wanted to talk about that. So I found some flashcards and printed those off. And so we ended up having a really good discussion today about those things. And the kids were engaged and they ran out of those little markers for the bingo games. And so they ended up tearing up a map. One of the maps I printed, they tore. I was like, just tear one up. That's fine. And they used that. And I could have sworn that I had enough of the markers, but guess not. So
I will say too, bingo is one of those games. I feel like no matter how old you are, it's just a fun game.
Right. Yeah. Well, I had one kid go, I'm not playing bingo. I'm like, yeah, you are. That's the class today. And I handed him a bingo sheet and he did it. So
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Several years ago, I volunteered at a local nursing home and it was for the Saturday bingo. And I tell you what, the ladies up there are very hardcore about their bingo and what chip bag they got. And at this particular place, they used milk cap lids as the markers because they're bigger, you know, and they had bigger sheets for the ladies so they could see them better. And I had a lot of fun even just being the caller and helping assist with the game, but they loved it. And you're never too old for bingo.
Well, and I did it in such a way that I gave clues as to what it was in Europe that I was talking about. And so I, like, if it was a country, okay, well, this is a country and the countries next door to it are these, or the ocean next door to it, you know, like Portugal is between Spain and the Atlantic Ocean. And so they had to look at their maps and figure out what country that was and then mark it on their bingo board. So that kind of added an extra step and a little bit more thought processing to it. And it took them a little bit longer because these kids are like wanting to rip through because they want to go play, you know, so we spend the last 45 minutes or whatever playing and having their fellowship time and their friend time. So they sometimes they're in a really big hurry to get out there and go play. And so I have to have some things in my back pocket to slow them down a little bit, but, and that helps. Yeah. So that was made it an extra fun bingo game. I think I might do it again next week. We'll see.
Yeah. And I'm a huge fan of those Professor Noggin's trivia card games, you know, they're like $10 or something. You can find them. I got some at the homeschool convention from one of the vendors, but I've also seen them on Amazon, and those are also fun for all ages because, you know, even my youngest will sit there and kind of listen to the question and throw out some random, like, you know, answer of like, but you know, all right. So, but she's engaged, she's listening. And there have been moments where we've been talking about, like, we're going over the presidents right now, with my high schoolers, and my 4-year-old has been like, George Washington. She's got it right. Cause that is, we review the presidents and he's always the first one.
So. That's super cool. Yeah. Well, our next continent is North America. So we'll be doing some states and capitals and things like that. That's the save the best for last, right? That's the last continent we're working on. So
yeah. Well, and I feel like too, when I remember when I was in public school, when we learned about the states and everything, I think it's typically what, like third or fourth grade. I just feel like, man, I kind of like to wait with my kids until they're more middle high school level, because when you put more context, like we've traveled more since they're older, and you know, it just means so much more. They can understand a little bit more about, like, you know, how things work and where things are positioned and directional things. Whereas when they're little, I didn't remember a lot of that stuff. So,
right. And then, the retaining it is definitely a lot more so, you know, when I would ask them questions about, well, what is a peninsula? Then they would have to stop and think about it and go, oh yeah, this is a peninsula. And they knew it. Whereas if they were younger, that's like, you know, throwing a marshmallow at a wall and calling it eating, you know, it just doesn't, doesn't work. So what did you guys do today in co-op?
Oh, let's see. Well, I also teach geography. So we are using in the co-op, the Knotgrass 50 states for the littler ones. And so we talked about Virginia today. So we did a little interesting study on that and read aloud for that because mine are, I teach the little ones, the pre, you know, 5 and 4-year-olds. And there was this cave. And of course, now I can't think of the name of it. It's like the world's largest instrument. And there's like this organ that hits the stalactites with rubber mallets. And it's so beautiful. It's so calming. Cool. So we watched a video on that and it was just really interesting. I love stuff like that. That's just kind of quirky and, you know.
And that's the kind of stuff they'll remember too. You know, if you don't, like you can't really go into all the more serious stuff. You have to do the fun stuff for those kinds of ages and the states and stuff. That's neat.
Yeah. And then there's a little folk song that we read aloud. And then I found the video that played it and the kids thought it was just hilarious. It's called The Barnyard. So yeah, music is just a wonderful way for all the kids to learn.
I think. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, then I said, you know, to all the kids, like, you can go home and tell your mom and dad you learned about this organ in a cave. And mine was like, you're already here. You already know. Like, but your dad doesn't tell him, you know, like deadpan. You already know.
She's so ornery.
She is. Yeah.
So how did the rest of your week turn out? Everything go well this week?
Yeah, I have a child that's just starting to be interested in like the Civil Air Patrol. So we tried that out this week. And that was good. And, you know, it's just a busy time of year. We've got soccer for a couple of kids and one's in two plays. And so I feel like I'm just running all the time, which is fine because I'm the one who planned all these things. So I'm not complaining. I'm just stating a fact. But yeah. And I love doing stuff like that too. Like I've always been on the go and mm-hmm. So I really like it when our calendar is full until I don't. And then I'm right. Like, I just want to be at home all day.
Stick a fork in you. You're done. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the invigorating time of year too, where you're kind of winding down on a lot of the academic stuff. And then I always love this time of year just to plan ahead for next year. And my fresh printed off planner is on the way. And
I did buy a planner, by the way.
Did you?
I did. And it's, I looked at the one that you bought and I just couldn't, I just couldn't order it. I'm like, you know, if this were on Amazon, I could get it. But, the one I bought is just this plain black, super simple planner. I decided to do something different. I was talking to a friend of mine who is, her son is very similar to mine in a lot of ways and like sensitivities and personality wise and organizationally with some executive functioning issues and things, very similar, different in a lot of ways, but very similar in that sort of way. And we were talking about how to organize for next year, especially with ninth grade on the horizon and how things really get real, you know, and in high school and how we want to be organized and started off on the right foot. And she made the suggestion of writing out all of the lessons for each week in some kind of either in a planner or what have you. And then they have control over when they do it, how it's done, you know, how they document it, that sort of thing. And so I didn't have my planner yet when I first started it. So I just did it in a spiral notebook and I just, you know, listed it out from week one to week 33. Because that's usually how many weeks we do. And then I just went through each of his, of the curriculum that we currently have and listed them out. So I have LA and science and math. And then there's a history curriculum that's called America's Founding Fathers. So I just put it in there as AFF, you know, and he'll do that. And I wrote out each week. And so 33 pages are filled with those weeks. Of course, I'm not done yet because, you know, there's a couple of co-op classes that we'll have to include in that or whatever. So there's some variables there. And of course, you know, nothing's ever set in stone. There's at some point we're going to have to white out and move things or what have you. But
I was going to ask, did you do this in pencil or pen?
Right. Yeah. It's in pen, but I do have white out.
Yeah.
You know, and I've messed up a few times and had to white it out and go back to it. But when I showed that to him, I was like, so you can document it. If you want to document it in your planner, you can. If you want to document it, you know, like what you're doing for that week, what your plan is and how you're going to implement that plan. You can do it on your calendar. You can do it in the planner, however you see fit, and you let me know how I can support you. And his eyes got real big and bright. And he was like, ooh, that sounds good. I can do that. So I think he's really excited about it. I don't think he realizes how much work it'll be, but just having that control or that sense of control over his own studies, I think will help him quite a bit. And I mean, even some of the curriculum that we have, like one of them is physical science, that's Apologia. And in the workbook, it has it all listed out in the front of the book. But that's just for one curriculum. You know, you can't open a book and see all of your lesson plans for your entire week in one place. And that's what makes it a little bit more organized, you know, where he can decide that he wants to read all of the lessons in one day, right? Instead of reading, you know, page 1 to 3 here, page 4 to 5 there. If he wants to read them all in one day, I don't care. Just make sure they're read, you know, just as long as you get all those things done, it doesn't matter what order you do them in. And, you know, whatever makes sense to him doesn't have to make sense to me. Right. So that'll be interesting to how it shakes out, but I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm putting thoughts together. One of the things that I, you know, volunteer with FHE, Families for Home Education, is all about educating homeschool moms. And one of the classes I'm working on is to do with planning your year and getting like in Missouri, we have to keep track of hours. So that was one of the things. And I love that idea. And I'm actually waiting for my planner to get here so I can do that too, where I'm just going to write it all in so that I can kind of map our day ahead of time. So instead of planning for the day or the week, we're planning for the year, and then not writing like lesson one, lesson two, but just here's the subject. And then I know that maybe there's 180 lessons. So I write it in 180 times, knowing which days we have co-op, or, you know, I don't do school on birthdays, so I won't have them do that. And then if we don't do, you know, four lessons in a week, like I have planned, then using Friday as kind of the catch up day, because this year I think I'm going to try doing a 4-day work week. So that way Fridays can be our catch up day. And, you know, if you're done, then you're done. And if you're not, then we don't have too much work on our plate so that you can't catch up to where you want to be, or, you know, to have those goals, because it is important to have markers, I think, through your year of where you want to be, so that you don't get to May and have to do summer school, like 5 hours a day in the books, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Cause everyone wants to have fun.
So, Yeah. So it's good to, and I didn't list out mine by dates. I just listed it out by week.
Yeah.
And then I skipped 2 weeks in December, you know, and so in the front cover, I just have, you know, week one is this week, and have the dates in there, but that's easily changed. You know, if we need to take off a week for sickness, or take off a few days or what have you, then we can do that and just change what those, you know, what week number that is. So I just labeled it by week one, week two, et cetera.
Nice.
So hopefully that'll give enough leeway, but then still enough structure to be sufficient for him. So we'll see.
A good plan. Yeah.
We'll see. So I was working on that this week, and we have a lot of other stuff going on here at the farm this week. So I've, you know, I planted a bunch of seeds, and it's kind of driving me crazy because our weather has been, and I think everyone has had this issue too, the weather has just been so unpredictable that a lot of the seeds are not coming up. They're not germinating like they normally would because of the variations in the temperature. I think that's probably why it's doing that. And so I replanted some stuff the other day. So I'm kind of stressed out about that. I might end up having to buy plants. Yeah, I don't want to do that, but I'm trying to stay faithful and stay hopeful with it. But I don't know, last year they just all just came up so well and everything went well. And so this year with the weather, the way it is, it's the only difference is that the weather's just been up and down.
I know what it is, Amanda. It's because I gave you seeds that I knew I could not plant and grow because I would kill them. And it's my
it's not just your seeds, those packets. Right.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. So it's not just like it's, but it's all of them. See, that's, and I thought, well, you know, some of the seed trays that I used were the seeds I planted were from last year. And so I thought, well, maybe, you know, I let them stay outside and got too hot or something with those seeds, but the new seeds are in that same seed tray. So it only would make sense if it were just the old seeds that were doing that, but it's all of them, like none of them are coming up. So it has to be something consistently throughout all of them. And so the only thing I can figure is that it's the weather, but I might have to just like start seeds inside next year, especially if the weather is going to be crazy, and then move them to the greenhouse once they pop or the weather, you know, stabilizes or something. I'm not quite sure what to do, but, and then we have a goat that's due. Today is like day 138, and they are pregnant for 145 days. And our dear friend Becky, the goat guru, has said that she thinks that they can actually go a little closer to 140 days. And she's a Nigerian and she's smaller. She said, Becky said, that the smaller goats don't have to cook as long. We're like out there, you know, 6 or 7 times a day now watching her and seeing how things are. And so we might end up having goats this weekend. Like, I don't know. I don't know. We're watching her. We are on baby watch, and that's stressful. And it's her first time kidding. So I don't really know what to expect with that. I don't know how well she's going to do. And so that's nerve wracking, you know, because I want, of course, want to be there to help her if she needs it. Yeah. So that's stressful.
Yeah. That's a lot.
I'm very worried about that. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see how she does. But we might have Easter babies. We'll have to like have some kind of Easter name.
There you go.
This weekend is Easter. We'll see.
Interesting.
I don't know. When we record next week, I'll let you know if we have big goat babies.
Yeah.
Maybe we can post pictures on our page or something.
Maybe you could have people vote for the name.
Ooh, that would be good. Yeah. My kiddo wants to name, we do most of them by music names. Mm-hmm. And he wants to name one Ozzy Osbourne and one Freddie Mercury. So, but it might not be this batch. Like he just, at some point, I want to name some goats.
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne, Freddie Mercury, like whatever. So
there you go.
They're musical. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we could totally do a contest. Yeah. Some kind of name. Yeah, that would be fun. Was it what else? Yeah. Anything else off the cuff you want to talk about?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm at a loss. All this goat talk and seed talk, like I'm does oh, not man. Compute. Like I'm not.
Well, you know, there's a bunch of bunnies. There's bunnies. Veronica has bunnies.
No, I know.
Bunny babies.
I do, and I don't. You know, there's like all, I don't know. When we first started homeschooling, I didn't know anyone homesteading or like into all of this like outdoorsy stuff. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like it's synonymous with homeschooling is homesteading. Yeah. And yeah. That's just, I wish you well. That's not my bag.
Yeah. Well, and it's self-sufficiency though. And you're doing self-sufficient things, you know, and I have this whole thing where, you know, for a long time, back when I was single, you know, back in the 90s, I had a gym membership and I would run. I actually ran quite a bit. I'd run around the block and get whistled at by firemen, believe it or not. But I realized in recent years that I really hate going to the gym. Like I really hate doing exercises that don't actually produce anything. Like there's mm-hmm. nothing tangible. Obviously your muscles build and it's good for your body and all that crap, but like nothing tangible comes from that. Well, if you're hauling hay, there's something tangible, you know, you're actually mm-hmm. providing a service to an animal and you're caring for your animals. If you're planting seeds or gardening, that's a, you know, like it feels like it's more productive in some way.
Mm-hmm.
All power to people that like to go to the gym. But so that's what really got me going on it was, you know, I can actually do these things and have movement and have exercise and mm-hmm. be out in fresh air and, you know, accomplish something, you know,
yeah.
something that I think is important. And of course that was for my kids and stuff too, that they have, you know, have the outdoors to go and, mm-hmm. you know, do whatever they do in the outdoors, go play or whatever.
Yeah.
And farm tours and stuff, but.
Yeah, I love all of those things. I'm just terrible at them. Like, so if you're listening and you see everyone baking sourdough bread and has goats and, you know, all of those types of things, you're not alone. I don't do those things either. And I have my own giftings and they're not animals or yeah. growing seeds. You know, I even have killed aloe in my home. Mother-in-law tongue, you should see it. I actually have killed one. So I'm not looking for recognition here, but I will say
if there was an award for that, it would go to you, right?
It would. Yeah. Because, and it's so terrible. I hate it. Like it's so frustrating to me, but like I told you the other day at Bible study, I just, for some reason, gardening is something I cannot wrap my head around. Like the planting of the seeds at a specific time. I feel like you have to like, I don't know. I feel like there's something that I just don't understand about it. And it's really not complicated. I know, but
it is though. Like there's so much, I've learned so much from Lori. Like she's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to that stuff. And I have asked her the same question 15 times, I'm sure. And you know, she's ever patient. If there's ever a question about that kind of stuff, she's the perfect person to ask because she never loses her patience with anyone. But so I've learned so because I'm the same way, Erin. Like and that's what makes me so frustrated about these seeds not germinating mm-hmm. is that Lori's are, everybody else is, like, what am I doing? I've always said I had a brown thumb, but you know, my dad grew stuff and you know, he had corn. They had lived in a neighborhood, suburban neighborhood when I was a baby and he had corn growing in the front yard. Like, I don't even know how that works, you know? And of course he had an ongoing battle with squirrels where he would try to shoot them and really take the neighbors off. And so there's lots of family stories about that kind of thing. I don't know. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. It is not like a light switch. It's more like there's a dimmer switch with it, you know, or you have to, you really have to learn and, you know, turn it up as you go. And
well, okay. So today I've been listening to audiobooks because, you know, I drive all the time yeah. and I'm in the car sometimes alone, but I do try to find interesting things to listen to. So today I started listening to The Unsettling of America, Culture and Agriculture by Wendell Berry. Ooh. And it is so good. I did come home and my husband was like, so now you're going to start a farm, like you're going to sell the house and we're going to become these agrarian people. And I'm like, no, I don't know. I did feel inspired. Like there's definitely a shift in how our nation has done things in the past, especially with farming. And, you know, I'm only on chapter two, but it was talking about the shift in specializations, you know, where it used to be everybody could farm and, you know, they can and did things on their own. And then now it's like you have a specialized career and a lot of that career only yields money. It doesn't yield, like you're saying, like going to the gym, you yield, I guess, being in shape, but then when you are working out in the form of farming or manual labor, you have something else besides just the physical labor to show for that. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that like, yeah, that I really do need to be more intentional with that and fight through the frustration of, you know, seeds not coming up or killing plants that everyone else says are unkillable.
Oh, I killed a cactus when I was a kid.
Absolutely. I've done that too. Like it just, I don't, maybe I have a thing with succulents. I don't know.
You don't ignore them well enough.
Well, I think that's my problem. I ignore everything except those. I'm like, oh, it's been a week. I haven't watered. And then it's like, I overwater. So I can't say that I haven't learned anything, but I just still haven't learned how to grow.
You'll be a farmer by the end of the book, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
You'll want to buy the neighbor's property and move over here next to me.
Yeah. Maybe. You just put a shed on your property and I can come stay there and watch you farm.
She should. An Aaron should.
Farming agritourism or something like that.
There you go. Yeah. Get a yurt. We can get a yurt
with air conditioning. Well, you do have an RV hookup, so
maybe I do. Yeah, you do need to buy an RV. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, these are trendy, you know, Instagram homeschoolers, right? We have to have RVs and wide brim hats and all the cool things.
Yeah, the wide brim hats are a must for sure.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, this has been a fun, non-serious episode, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I just always feel like it's so fun to hear other people that are homeschooling just kind of talk through. I love a curriculum discussion, don't get me wrong, but it is kind of nice just to hear like other people are trying different things and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And you know, and all the mundane things that we do, we can find the joy in that. And that's part of the gift of our calling, I think. And homeschooling is the joy in the mundane and being able to enjoy each other's company.
And the naps on the couch.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with guest and we'll keep it a mystery what the topic is. It's going to be a good one. A little more serious than this one, but still fun and relevant. And so we hope that you listen. And I think that's it. You can find us on Instagram at Goat Homeschooling Podcast. And you can find us on Facebook. And we have a group and a page, Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. Be sure to like both and tell your friends if you like our podcast and have found something that we've said helpful or funny or useful. Or whatever, just share it with your friends and let them know about us. We'd love to connect with you online, or you can email us at goathomeschoolingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you'll subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'd like to suggest topics for us to discuss, or if you have any questions, find us at Goat Homeschooling on Facebook, on Instagram, at Goat Homeschool, and email us at goathomeschoolingpodcast@gmail.com. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.